What's happening, man?
Yeah, Harry Douglas? Okay,
yeah,
great.
Yeah, Otis Harry. Okay, what's happening?
My bad,
man?
Harry.
Yeah, what's happening, man? Yeah, man, prime time. Prime time up in Philadelphia. One of the best places to play a football game. One of the best times to play a football game on a Monday night. So, yeah, get excited about it. It's going to be a good game. We of course, we'll talk all about it, ins and out of it. And you know, it's just, did you get better from the week before? I mean, I think that's the most important thing that you'll see is, like, did they get better from last Sunday? I don't know.
I hope so.
I would think they would.
Yeah.
Because another week and everything, other game planning.
Everybody says week one to week two, right?
It's a big jump sometimes.
There's a lot of stuff tonight that, like, I don't know. I don't think anyone just moved on from week one and made excuses or anything like that. But it also is, it is one game, obviously, of the 17 that you'll play. But there's so much sort of baked into the idea of, or the expectation. I mean, you really only do this when your team loses week one and looks the way the Falcons looked week one in losing. But there's so much just like assumed improvement that takes place from week one to week two. And when you play the way they did against the Steelers, you kind of start turning the page and talking about that.
Yeah.
They better. Because if they don't, they're going to get smoked.
Yeah, dog.
They're going to get embarrassed on Monday Night Football tonight if they play like they played against the Steelers.
Andy, I agree 100%, man. And it's going to be a challenge for them, again, on the road, in a hostile environment, Monday Night Football. I mean, it's just going to be a great atmosphere, and it's going to be one of those, you know, it's the biggest product in the country. So a lot of people are going to be watching.
Oh, that's the thing about it, too.
I saw a funny tweet that Falcons don't embarrass me tonight, you know, and everything like that. But I don't think they will. I think they'll go up there, and I'm just saying it from sitting here in Atlanta in the Kia Studios. I have no clue what's going to happen tonight, but I do think that they have to be better. We know that, but they got to be remarkably better as far as game planning, adjustments to the damn game plan when it's something might not work when you want to do it, and be consistent, man. I think the consistent part of the offense has to be that they got to be able to win on first down and protect the damn quarterback. Protect the quarterback. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, well, because of all the pistol they ran last week, he's going to be under center and everything like that. I'm not going to say that because I believe the pistol is what they want this offense to be more.
That's what they said.
Yep. And so I don't know how the game plan is going to be called, but Zach Robinson has to have a better day than he did on Sunday. He has to have a way better day. And so it's the whole offense. And I'm talking about, and I know everything is pointed towards Kurt, but everybody's got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
The offensive line definitely got to play better. But these skill players, man, they got to get open. They got to get open and give themselves an opportunity to be able to make plays down the field.
Yeah, I mean, with the 60 minutes and really only 25 minutes of offense, but with the limited amount of offensive game that we've seen from this team, a lot of questions came up, right?
Yeah.
That's like, you have like a question per minute of offense that you've watched, like 25 different questions about what you need to see from this offense from week one to week two. I don't know if it starts with Zach Robinson or Kirk Cousins, but those are one of the two places that it starts.
Right.
In terms of what you want to see tonight, you pick. Whether it's the offensive coordinator or the quarterback, it's up to you. But both of them are, you're looking closer tonight after what happened week one. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, what's the game plan going to look like? What formation are you lining up in?
That's going to be the first. That's going to be the first thing.
If you're under center and you run play action on first and 10, the first drive, it's like, all right. So where was that? But whatever you need to do, whatever the game plan calls for, like, hopefully it works.
Let's not complain.
Like, I'm not going to be mad because they do it if it works.
Right,
whatever. Like week one, thought that was going to work, it didn't. Clearly, you didn't adjust during the game. Fine. It sucks. Flush it. Hopefully you can learn from it. But you're going to be paying attention to that really closely.
Yep.
I don't know, maybe I've been like that before, but I don't remember how many times I've looked at a game like, all right, what formation are they going to be in play one?
Mm-hmm.
How often are they going to use this type of play that you know this guy excels at, that they literally didn't use the first game they had him after they gave him $100 million fully guaranteed?
Right.
All right, maybe they'll use that tonight to his advantage. The reason that he got all that money, maybe they'll use that, the thing that he does best. How does he look? Does he look healthy?
Right.
Because that was the biggest narrative coming out of the game, not just here, nationally.
Yep.
I mean, is Kirk Cousins rusty or is he washed?
Yeah.
Like, and I'm going with rusty because you have to.
No.
Because if it ain't rusty, we got a whole bigger problem to talk about. But again, that's the other thing you'll be watching. How
problem.
Does he look in his dropbacks?
Yep.
Can he move? Like, there's a lot of questions that I didn't expect to be having answered, looking forward to getting answered in week two against Philadelphia.
Right.
Like, kind of basic stuff. But still, I mean, that's what it is. Like, that's what you have coming out of week one, and that's what you're going to be looking forward to tonight. If that stuff isn't better,
then
again, tonight's going to be tough.
It don't matter.
Tonight's going to be tough even if it is.
It's going to be tough because Philadelphia's a really good football team, man, who has a lot of great players, especially on offense. They got they got some disruptors on the interior. We all know about what Jalen Carter is, but Sweat can rush the passer. Yeah. They got, I mean, the defense, the linebackers aren't the best, but they're young. And, you know, we know N'Kobe Dean is
there. Linebacker, they had 15 tackles last week, a couple tackles for loss. He was flying all over the place.
Secondary, you know, you got Chauncey back there, and he's a very, very good football player. Big play Slay, opportunistic corner. But you can get plays on this secondary if you're able to protect up front. And it starts with those guys. 76 has got to bounce back in a big way today, Andy. He's got to bounce back in a major way. And if I'm them, I'm going to let him do what he does best. We're going to go forward, and we're going to go right. We're going to run right. Let's just let him be able to just attack and impose his will. That's what he does best. Mm-hmm.
And he's very good at that.
And he's very good at it. Because the thing with it is, if you allow him to do that, the play action is going to help him even more because he doesn't have to worry about the play action. It's going to work even more.
They do that?
Because he does not have to, you know, automatically just go back in the set.
Right.
You know, it'll help him out a lot more.
Anyway, this is true of every single game. We understand this. But for what this offense is, for how this offensive line is built specifically on the right side, and for what the quarterback excels at, establish the run early in this game.
It'll help.
A million things are going to be possible for this offense. You're just going to be able to do so many more things than you were able to do last week. So, I mean, you got pretty good running back, right?
It's nice.
And you got a good other running back, too. You got two good running backs.
He's getting more carries.
Yeah, maybe work him in a little bit. Maybe they wanted to. Maybe the script just kind of got screwed up last week because how hard everything was.
More than likely
it did. You know what they're going to do? I mean, as much as you're talking about trying to do stuff to get Caleb McGarry doing what he does best, they're going to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they saw that tape. They're going to put a guy over there, and, you know, they're just going to leave him alone again. Great.
All right, let's go.
Here's what he can't do. Speed rush around the outside.
Get him some help.
Man's got heavy feet.
Get him some help. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to tonight's game just because I want to see the improvements from week one to week two with this football team. And I'm going to go on a limb and anticipate that it will be. I want to limit say this offense.
It better be.
I mean, I don't want to go in with the mindset that it's going to be raggedy.
No, I'm not either.
Because I'm like, well, then why the hell am I going to watch the game then? You know, might as well try to have some kind of optimism about, you know, what they're able to do. Because, I mean, they're football guys. They're smart individuals.
Yeah.
They saw what worked and what didn't work and why it didn't work.
And I also don't buy that they're as bad as they played week one.
I agree.
I don't think that they are. And I think there's a lot of different factors that go into it. The interesting thing to me tonight and the next couple of weeks, the whole season really, but tonight because this is what we got, is to find out what those factors are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what was it? Was it just you didn't play together? You didn't know each other? It was rusty? Oh, T.J. Watt's too good. Now, they did the same thing to Denver yesterday that they did to the Falcons week one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Falcons and Denver aren't supposed to be the same.
Right.
The Falcons are supposed to be better than them.
Mm-hmm.
They got a rookie quarterback and all that, but they didn't allow a touchdown. Bo Nix?
Yeah.
He makes bad decisions.
Yeah. Who makes worse decisions?
No one makes worse decisions in 2 weeks of the NFL season than Will Levis.
You cannot. And I don't know.
No one has made worse decisions than his head coach,
but I'm telling you this. When a coach walks over the sideline and says that to you,
and then he said it to the media, too.
And then he said it to the media,
too? Yeah. You call your quarterback dumb in public. Yeah. It's pretty tough.
It's a dumb – because it was dumb.
It was. It was.
Like, what – it's okay. One of my favorite coaches, Andy, was Rich Versace. Rich always say, it's okay to end up in every possession with a kick. It's okay. You know, especially like when it's forcing stuff. Just punt it. Just punt it.
Live to play another play. Let your defense do something.
It's okay to punt the ball, man. Because the defense played pretty good actually yesterday. Yeah. But
sometimes he maybe shouldn't punt.
Yeah.
We'll get to that maybe more in what's trending with Georgia being able to sneak out of Lexington.
Irritating, grimy football game by the Kentucky Wildcats. That's all I'll say about that game. That game was irritating as hell.
Yeah, but if Stoops goes for it. I don't know what happens. Now, he trusted his defense. And I will say this. They forced a fumble. Oscar Delp did fumble.
Luckily,
Georgia fell on it for Georgia's sake. But I know there's a lot of questioning about the decision to punt there and, you know, trust your guys, maybe pick it up. Like, Georgia wasn't doing anything on offense.
Nothing.
So I don't blame him for trusting his defense in that moment. But, yeah. Sometimes, I don't know, sometimes I wouldn't punt. Sometimes I would. Sometimes I wouldn't. I don't think I would have punted in that situation if I was Mark Stoops.
Well, but he did.
Thank God he did, for Georgia's sake.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Is your heating and cooling system aging? Reliable's got you covered for just $29.99 a month. No deductibles or service fees, just coverage. Call to find out more.
Robinson to the goal line. Touchdown, Georgia. Has touched the ball tonight, but he took it into the end zone.
A lot of Georgia fans saying the same thing, Brian.
67-yard drive.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the theme of the week was blow by blow, you know, so how do you keep that motor rolling? How do you keep going the entire game and just try to chop down the tree? You know, watching the film, you go look at their game last week against South Carolina, you look at their defense, I mean, a tough defense. You look at their front seven, what they do, they're going to bring pressure, they're going to challenge you. That's what they did to us today, and I mean, they played a phenomenal game.
Yeah, that's Carson Beck afterwards. You always say this, Randy, and I agree with you on it. A lot of times with good teams, whether it's NFL, college, whatever, like they all kind of sound the same. Like Right. They're kind of delivering the same message. That was Carson Beck saying the exact same thing that Kirby said all week last week and the exact same thing that Kirby said in his postgame. Blow by blow, I guess, was a
– Right.
They spoke it into existence.
Yeah, man.
Or give Kentucky some credit, too, because they showed up and played some tough football. But, yeah, man, that was that probably wasn't, like, the most fun game you've watched Georgia play.
No, it wasn't,
in
man.
A while.
And it was frustrating because Kentucky made it frustrating. You know, and I give them all the credit. They were able to control the line of scrimmage. They held the ball for 35 minutes. And Georgia, just when Georgia had the ball, they really couldn't sustain the drive.
Yep.
Now, that Georgia defense, once Kentucky got past the 50, it was nothing. It was like, okay, y'all got to make some big plays. But, hey, we're locking this thing down. And they lost. And that depth on the defensive line was tested. I saw somewhere where Stackhouse played over 100, like, combined, like 100-something plays.
Yeah.
You know? And so that's
I think Stackhouse played every play.
That's not good.
Yeah, no. That's tough.
That's tough for him.
And it's also an example of what we were talking about. There's a couple things that over the first 3 weeks of the season, I think, have showed up, questions that we had.
Right.
It's like, all right, what's that interior look like? Those guys are pretty good,
yeah. But
there's not a lot of depth right now. And I know there's injuries and guys are coming back. You got a week off. Hopefully with Bama, they're going to come back. But yeah, like that interior is just not what it had been. And I think we kind of get an idea now of why there wasn't any hype coming out of fall camp about the receivers.
Yes.
They're not bad.
They're not bad.
But there's no one special.
And I truly think that's why my thing is like, are they not given chances? You know what I mean? Because, I mean, there's a lot of dudes on there, and there's no attempts to these guys. So that's my thing is like, because a lot of times when you get in these contests, you want to lean on your defense and everything. Kirby does that a lot. But, yeah, they got to figure out something as far as the playmaking ability of some of these guys to be able to make this offense more explosive down the field. And, you know, you got a week and you got 2 weeks to get ready for Bama. Because I said this 2 weeks ago, I said, if he figures out this offense, I'm from Jalen Milroe.
He did.
Watch out. Did you see them damn throws in Wisconsin, that corner out he threw?
Uh-huh.
Like, this dude.
Fourth quarter against USF.
Yeah.
First half against Wisconsin.
This dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Jalen Milroe figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they're just going to get better and better with another week for preparation. And then you got to go down to Bama and try and find a win down there. But, yeah, offensively, Georgia just did not get any type of rhythm going whatsoever. I thought they ran hard. I thought Etienne ran really, really hard.
I agree.
And every time you got a good play, you got a damn penalty.
Yep.
Penalties killed them. Penalties kept stalling drives. And, you know, but I think, you know, these are things where you're like, okay, we got it. We can move on. Like, I turned it off. Like, I didn't even want, like, after the game, like, usually I'll stay and watch the highlights, see if I can see DJ in the next morning. I ain't watching it.
No.
I was like, I don't want to watch nothing about this game.
And I think that's, you know, that's
nothing about this game.
That's the right way to think about it.
Yes.
Because, look.
It was freaking awful.
It was not the prettiest game that's ever been
played.
If
Kentucky had a better quarterback, Georgia would have lost.
Yeah, he played pretty good, though.
Yeah,
or at least he did his best.
He did his best.
He did his best. He was up for it. He was up for it.
Yes, he did his best.
Missing
tackle.
Yeah, that's – if I'm Georgia, the thing that really drives me crazy about that game is – you're missing tackles and you're not blocking on the perimeter.
Like,
you didn't have great blocking from the tight ends. You didn't have great blocking from the receivers.
You sure you can play here?
Who?
84.
Maybe not. I don't know. I know. Like, a lot of hype about Jurasek. He doesn't look great so far.
Yeah.
Drop passes in week one, missing blocks, and just kind of, you know, kind of sloppy, not Georgia tight end level stuff.
Yeah. Because that other guy.
But you also went on the road in the SEC in a tough environment. And probably should have lost and didn't.
Yep.
See what I mean?
I mean, that's
like, you
got to
win your clunkers.
Yep. And that was a
clunker.
Every
team's going to have one.
And that was a clunker.
You got to win them.
And that was a clunker. And they won. And now you can just move on from it. Flush that one. Learn from it. Because I like the Kirby was really animated towards the end of the game. Because he was getting like, okay, God dog it. Y'all about to really get on my damn nerves. I know what I said, but I don't expect us to play the way I said it.
Yeah, stop making it so true.
Yes.
Stop making me so right. Like,
yes.
I don't need to
I
don't need to be, you know, this is aging everyone years the way that you're playing this game. But they get out with the win, obviously. Not the most impressive thing in the world. They fall in the polls because of it.
Yeah.
Texas was ridiculous, even with the with their starting quarterback getting injured again. Quinn Ewers,
yeah, man,
injury prone.
He is,
fair to say,
yes,
injury
he,
prone.
He is, but that
Arch Manning
Arch.
Comes in the game, but, and maybe they're better because he can run the football.
Dude, he was rolling,
yeah.
But the, how he got rolling, how he shook old boy,
yeah,
and then just Arch just caught out.
I mean, we never seen a Manning do that before.
No.
They had a graphic on TV last night.
That's that,
the longest run of any Manning quarterback ever.
What, a grandpa?
Yeah. Oh, Grandpa's longest run was 27
really?
Yards. Yeah.
Arch could get out now.
I guess.
Oh, okay.
Not like that. Eli had 33 once, or Peyton had 33 one time. Yeah. Eli had like seven. I don't remember what it was, but I know his dad is the most athletic of them. He was a receiver and all that, but nonetheless, that's the crazy story from the weekend. Is there was some wild games, and we'll get back into LSU and South Carolina and everything later in the show. But like, I mean, Arch comes in, and there's even more excitement now than there was when they beat the hell out of Michigan last week on the road. That's crazy.
Because Carl went to Texas and everything, so I think he would be better to answer this question. I think they're winning with Quinn Ewers. They're like, okay, but they want Arch.
Yeah,
and
Quinn's good.
Quinn's really good. He's really good.
Yeah,
but they want Arch.
Yeah. Everyone wants Arch.
Yeah, they want Arch.
Everyone wants, but Quinn held it off.
Yes,
because he's too good.
He's good.
Credit to Quinn Ewers.
Quinn Ewers is
because if he was only okay, there would have been whispers.
Yes.
There was no whispers.
Yes,
he was so damn good, you couldn't do anything about it. But he's hurt.
And they want that guy.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
of course they do. His last name's Manning, and every time he gets in there, he does stuff like that.
Yeah, man,
it's crazy, ridiculous. All right, let's hear from. I guess we already did that. We had an Arch highlight. You want to just hear the Arch highlight for fun? All right, let's hear it.
Split right is DeAndre Moore. Tight end is Gunnar Helm on second down. Handoff Weisner. Getting up, pulling it back in is Manning. Arch breaks a tackle. 50, 45 to the 30. Dare I say it? Say goodnight to it. 67 yards. Arch to the house.
Yeah, man. As if things weren't already on fire down there in Austin. Yeah. That takes it to another level. He also threw for 223 and four touchdowns.
Yeah, man. I mean, they are good at it. I mean, I said it a couple weeks ago. Texas is a problem. They're a real problem.
Yes.
They're balanced. They can run the football. Their defense is better. I don't think the defensive line is as good as it was last year. I mean, but
they lost some really good top-end guys. Yeah.
But, I mean, Texas has everything you want. We already talked about Bama and what Milroe figures it out, which he seems to have done.
Their defense, too.
Their defense.
Bama's defense looks good.
And then you got them damn Volunteers up in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're jerks.
Yes. I learned
a bunch of bullies.
Just beat the hell out of them. I mean, just leave them alone.
Yeah, man.
Leave them alone. Oh, man.
It's 56-0 at halftime.
Yeah, leave him alone, man.
I mean, whatever. They're supposed to stop you, all that stuff. But
leave him alone.
Yeah, that was a little bit. That was cruel what
alone.
They were doing. Yeah, Ole Miss is good. They keep rolling. They won 40-6. Like, there's. I mean, Missouri got a little scare from Boston College, but they buckled down and they won that game as well. So there's legitimately like six teams, maybe an argument for seven teams in the SEC that can go to the playoff.
Yes.
Obviously, Georgia is one of them. And you, even with what happened with Kentucky, you put Georgia up on that tier with those top teams in the country. But Texas is real.
Yep.
And Alabama looks real after what they did. And I know Van Dyke got hurt early, but I don't think that was going to make much of a difference as far as what Wisconsin's offense was going to do. Tennessee looks real.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Georgia does. Ohio State hadn't really played anybody yet, but they've got all the talent in the world. So, shaping up to be really fun like we thought it would. Let's hear Raheem Morris talking about Saquon Barkley ahead of the Monday Night Football game tonight.
But Saquon has always been a problem, right? He went to Penn State. You know, he was coached by James Franklin, a good friend of mine, and they run a great program coming out of college. He was a great athlete coming out of college, playing against them versus the Giants. He was always a guy and a focal point of somebody you got to stop. He's very difficult to tackle. He's explosive. He's fast. He can catch the ball at the backfield. He can do it all. You know, he's one of the guys that we want our guy to be like and to be very similar to when it comes to this game and be able to play as long as being able to do and have the kind of production that Saquon's had in his league, you know. You know, barring injury, he's one of the best. And he's one of the best that's been able to play that we've ever seen. So I got nothing but very complimentary things from Saquon from a human level and a player level.
He's priority number one.
Yep.
He's priority number one tonight. You got to bottle up 26. And because he is everything that Ross said, and he is he's what they want that offense to run through.
Mm-hmm.
26. I know they got Jalen Hurts, and we talk about all of it. We know AJ's not playing tonight.
Yeah, no AJ Brown tonight, which is helpful.
But they want to – they want this offense to run through 26. And so he's going to get every opportunity tonight to go out there, like, and like Keem said, to run and catch. I mean, nice touchdown catch out the backfield. This was a long since they played since Friday.
Yeah, it was two Fridays ago.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they got everything they need in this guy. When you want to look at as far as just a complete running back. I mean, he's complete now because at first he couldn't block to save his damn life, but he has worked on that, and he is a complete three-down runner.
Yeah, he's like Raheem said there, he's everything that the Falcons hope that Bijan turns into.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he's sort of the prototype of what Bijan is being asked to do. Now, Saquon's been hurt a lot, but when he's been healthy, he's been phenomenal.
Yes.
And you saw it that first game against Green Bay, had three touchdowns in a variety of different ways. I know it's not a matchup. They're not going to play against each other, but they're similar guys and they play the same position. If Bijan has a better game tonight than Saquon does, that goes a long way for the Atlanta Falcons.
It's go time. Mm-hmm. It's go time. And I'm going to stay optimistic, which I don't have to be. Meaning, all the way up till 8 o'clock, I'm all like, this is going to be better, it's going to be better, it's going to be better, until I see it's not. And we promised ourselves that Sunday. Last Monday. Like, you're not going to jump off the cliff. It's not the end of the world. They had four quarters, 22 minutes of offense.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be better than that.
They have to. Yeah, there's no option otherwise. Because if they aren't, then they're going to get embarrassed on national TV tonight in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to see it, and tomorrow's not going to be very much fun.
No.
And I want tomorrow to be fun.
I like Tuesdays
because
I'm fully recovered from the weekend. So, yeah, I love Tuesdays.
Tuesdays are good. Tomorrow's going to be great. Let's get Mike Conte in here.
It's time to check in with Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks broadcaster Mike Conte.
Lions it forward, a shot, score!
Brought to you by Lindy and the Empower Home Team.
Now, Mike normally joins us on Tuesdays, but to kind of move things around a little bit with tomorrow being a reaction day and all that, plus wanted to get your thoughts on the game tonight as well. Mike, how are you?
Good. Good to see you guys. Excited for tonight.
Definitely.
We'll see what happens, but I'm excited. I mean, it's fun to see the Falcons in a primetime network game. Haven't had that in a little while, and let's just see. I'm like you guys. I'm trying to stay optimistic until I have no more reason to be optimistic tonight.
Yeah, and there's plenty of reason to be optimistic with what happens from week one to week two in seasons. I mean, all the stuff you were excited about offseason-wise, signing-wise, still should be excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just played one bad game against Pittsburgh. You just have to be better tonight.
Well, and watching the games yesterday, I think we're seeing a lot of early season trends emerge around the league,
mm-hmm.
and the Falcons are not an outlier in this. Like, field goals are winning you games right now. Mm-hmm. Like, the Commanders won a game yesterday
with seven
field goals.
Yeah.
The defense,
the year of the kicker, man, I'm telling you.
At least so far. But to me, that tells me, and you guys chime in if you disagree, it feels like right now, in general, the defenses are ahead of the offenses. I don't know if that's typical for early season. I don't know if that's something that usually works itself out by now, 2 weeks into the season. But it just feels like what we've seen in the league so far, the defenses are ahead of the offenses. So maybe the Falcons are a little more in line with the league trend. I don't get in this transitive property thing. I don't get excited that the Steelers won yesterday. I don't think that really tells me much about the quality of how the Falcons played last Sunday. But I do have two coaching cliches.
All right.
That I would like to present to you.
I love coaching
cliches. I'm sure you've heard both of these before many times. Cliche number one, you're never as good as you think you are when you're good and bad as you think you are when you're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, teams improve the most between week one and week two.
Yep.
Especially, now, cliche over, this is my aside, especially when you mail in the preseason.
Because you use game one as your preseason.
Because that's what they did.
But
they
nailed
in the preseason.
I think that's a part of the trend, though, that you're talking about, because we talked about this last week. It's league-wide the last couple of years where teams that don't – it's so much more common to not play in the preseason now. The quarterback play, the offense play in the NFL weeks one and week two
mm-hmm.
is just not as good as it was 5 years ago because guys aren't as sharp as they were 5 years ago. Randy had a stat, like 2019, the last year that teams really kind of took the preseason – traditionally seriously, there was something like 70 touchdowns thrown week one. This year and last year, there was 34 touchdowns.
That's incredible.
It's half. That's not a coincidence.
No.
It's because everyone's rusty because they don't play, and I guess now there's an extra game, so you have a little bit more leeway to get up to speed in season. The problem is they count. Like, you're 0-1 now, and it counts. There's teams that are good that are 0-2 right now, partially because they just haven't been sharp early in the year.
Yeah. I think the thing that probably concerns me the most tonight is if you get off to some kind of slow start and the crowd starts to avalanche on you a little bit, that would be very tough to deal with. I don't like that this is Philadelphia's home opener. I especially don't like that Philadelphia had an extra 3 days to rest for this game, although some of that was consumed by a 13-hour flight.
Yeah.
Look, I grew up, full transparency, grew up in Philadelphia, was an Eagles season ticket holder as a kid through college. That crowd can absolutely affect games, and the crowd can, especially for a night game, it can get very, very noisy and very ugly in that stadium, but it can also very much turn on the home team.
It's true.
If they do not play up to the expectation of their local fans. So I think the first quarter of this game tonight is critical. I think it's absolutely critical. Look, even if you're down by a small margin, protect the football. Don't do anything that's going to put you in such a deep hole that you can't climb out of it on the road. I would almost prefer to see a little bit of a conservative look in that first 15-play script that you can see from Zach Robinson tonight. And that means run the football and give it not just to Bijan, but give it to Algier.
Right.
He's got to have more than three carries tonight, guys. Now, here's one of the other kind of oddities of last Sunday. The total plays the Falcons ran in the second half was a very low number. And you were chasing the game. You had to throw once you were able to get the ball late in your final couple possessions. So that might have affected the overall snap count, the overall usage of Algier.
Yeah, I think.
But I think that's a stat I would look for tonight. If Algier is at seven or more carries tonight, I think that's a sign that the Falcons are doing some good things.
Are you going to be paying really close attention to the first formation they come out offensively?
No.
I am.
No. No. Guys, I love this radio station. I love you guys. I love Carl and Mike. I love Bo, Mike, and Tiff. Like, I'm done. Like, I'm so over it. Right. Like, let's just go play football.
Exactly.
Like, there has been so much paralysis by analysis. In a way, I almost wish the Falcons would have played yesterday. Because now we could be fully moved on from all of that. But, like, I get why people are interested. I'm not making fun of anyone or anything. Like, that's obviously something that's been talked about a lot. Let's just play football. Let's have a fun night tonight. And I just want to see the Falcons compete. If they are competitive, if they play better than they did last week, I can stomach it if it ends up not being a win. But I've got to see them playing better. This is a long season. Got a long way to go. Got a lot of home games coming up soon. Play better. Establish some momentum. I don't think Philadelphia is unbeatable in Philadelphia at all. And I think the Falcons defense in particular, with what we saw last week against Pittsburgh, I think you're going to see Jalen Hurts on the ground a lot tonight. The guy that scares me on that Philadelphia offense is not Jalen Hurts, and it's not A.J. Brown if he's even going to play or you know, anyone. It's Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And that is the guy, I'm telling you, I've watched him basically his whole career. Until he gets that first soft tissue injury of the season, he's going to look like Walter Payton. And that is the concern tonight for me. Are the run fits going to be adequate? Are you going to be able to take Saquon Barkley or at least neutralize him or limit him in some way? He's going to be the difference maker tonight. If you hold him to, what do you think, Randy, under 80? Probably a good night.
Say somewhere there.
Yeah,
I'll take that.
Yeah, somewhere there.
Yeah,
the touchdown count, obviously, but yeah, I'll.
He's
I'll
not going to have three like he had last Friday. That won't happen. If it does, we're talking about formation.
Trouble. Mike, I know that you know there wasn't you were over at the Benz doing your job and everything like that. And was the best thing of the game or the match of Saturday? Was it Ronald Acuña being there? Because the match itself.
I mean, they got Jason and I a cake. I thought that was nice.
There we go.
What kind?
So, it was a strawberry cake. It was delicious.
Nice.
Like, that was, it was actually kind of awkward for me. Like, that was a terrible, terrible game. And it's, it's getting to the point for me now where, like, it's kind of hard to not express my frustration with what I'm watching as I'm calling the game. I just have to keep thinking in the back of my head, they got me a very lovely cake. They got me a lovely cake, so yeah. I'm not going to go in as hard. I don't know.
Yeah, I
can't, guys, I don't get it. Like, I do not get it. I do not get the lack of intensity. I don't get, maybe I do get the lack of chemistry a little bit because you are trying to get Moranchuk acclimated, but I mean, you've seen him now for three matches and he unfortunately has not been impactful. It's bleak right now. And, got the little guy coming in on Wednesday.
Yeah, is he going to play? He might not.
You know, here's the thing. He played 90 on Saturday. That makes me wonder right. if they're going to be careful with him on Wednesday night because it's a road game. On the other hand, I think he really wants to play here. I think he really wants to have the opportunity. I mean, it's going to be a huge crowd. Mm-hmm. I think he wants to have the opportunity to come here to Atlanta and entertain the fans or at least play. I think he will play. I don't know if he will start.
Right.
But I think if you have a ticket for Wednesday, I would feel pretty good about the chance. I mean, I guess we'll know tomorrow. Like, if he's ordering a pizza with green tomatoes and pickles on it and posting it on Insta.
Is that what he eats?
Or snap it. Remember that whole thing last year where we figured out he wasn't going to play in Atlanta?
Because
he posted
pizza?
A picture on that snap face about like a pizza that had pickles on it and stuff like that.
That's not a pregame meal.
And then there was a private jet that got in the air that took off from Boca Raton right before the game. Everyone got excited again. So, yeah, keep an eye on Insta tomorrow, and I guess we'll get a hint. But look, the one thing I said on the postgame show on Saturday, and I know we're really consumed with football, and that's cool, but the one thing I'll say about Atlanta United just really quickly, they have had an amazing ability this year to play up to and down to the level of their opponent.
I mean, they beat Miami on the road.
Crushed them.
Yeah.
With Messi.
Yeah, with Messi.
But Atlanta also had Almada that night.
That's true.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's not Atlanta United.
They don't have him anymore.
He's not on Atlanta United.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good.
So that concerns me.
Yeah, he's pretty damn good.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Anything's possible.
Hopefully we'll all just have fun and no one will get hurt.
And maybe there'll be more cake.
Maybe we'll get cake.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe there'll be more cake.
What's your initial final thoughts on tonight's game up there in Philly?
I think it's going to be really hard for the Falcons to win, but I think they're going to look a lot better offensively tonight. They can't look much worse.
Right.
You know what? I am cautiously optimistic, that we could see a Falcons win tonight. You know, Steak and I were talking about it. The Falcons' record in that stadium, in the Link, is bleak. Like, really? I don't think they've ever won there, as a matter of fact. Mm. Like, remember they lost?
Playoff game. Remember that?
Couple playoff
and
games.
An
NFC Championship game there.
That's right.
When McNabb was the quarterback, they obviously lost the playoff game. They had a chance to win.
Yeah.
And then they came back there the next year to open the season. I think Keanu Neal got hurt on, like, the first play or something like that.
Isn't that when the ball bounced off his knee?
Something like that. There was a lightning delay.
Yeah. That was either in the playoff game or that was in the first game of the next year. I don't remember. But, yeah, you're right, that did happen. He had an interception in his arms, and it bounced off his knee.
Since the turn of the century, the home team in this series has been, like, beyond dominant. If you're looking for a trend, of course, every year is different, and every game is different. But the Falcons just historically have not had much success. They've had some bad luck.
Yeah.
Like, Jerome Boger cost him a game there one year in 2008, I want to say. And then there have been times where they've just been blown out. Like, I think the... 2016, they went up there and just got killed. So.
They played them in 19. I don't remember if it was a Sunday night or a Monday night game, but it was a primetime game. It was here, wasn't it?
It
was here.
Yeah.
They got Julio.
Yeah, it was here. And they won, and then the Falcons went on a tailspin.
Yes. They were 2-1. It was like, all right, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it wasn't.
Then it wasn't.
I think they were 7-2. Or 2-7.
2-7.
After that.
I believe you're right.
Yep. Yeah. Well.
We'll see.
We'll see. Thank you, Mike.
We appreciate it.
We'll come back.
Mike.
We'll get to an NFL No Huddle, obviously. Continue talking about Monday night's game tonight between the Falcons and the Eagles. Get caught up on everything else that happened.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. That first hour of the show was brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. You know the second hour of the show is brought to you by?
Tell me, AB.
Mark Spain Real Estate.
Not the Caribbean.
Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. So there you have it. We're going to do a back-to-back NFL no huddle to kick off the hour, as we always do on Mondays, to react to the Sunday that was. Now, the Falcons didn't play yesterday. They play tonight right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Monday Night Football against Philadelphia Eagles. Pre-game before it. Wade Ford tailgate show before that. That means Dukes and Bell have a nice little easy Monday.
Hell yeah,
well, I don't want to say easy. You know, they're going to be giving it their all for the amount of time they're on the air. It'll just be less time than normal.
Yeah, from home.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. It looked like Carl had a fun time in Kentucky tasting bourbon.
And it looked like Mike had a horrible time.
He probably tasted some bourbon, too. But it was for different reasons.
Jealousy weekend. Boy, they are awful.
Yeah, Florida State's really bad.
Awful, man.
Really bad, and they look like they're kind of ready to be done.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of drop passes, mental stuff.
It's some bad stuff going on in Miami is...
Miami's good. Yeah.
What's going on in Gainesville?
Yep.
It was going on in Tallahassee?
Yeah.
I thought that they were going to fire the Gator. I thought they were going to fire him, like, on the field.
Billy Napier?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to fire him on the field.
They probably should.
That was pathetic. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I saw yesterday they said they were the board or whatever, they were meeting yesterday. So I don't know if he's gonna be fired by the end of the day, but that was pathetic.
Yeah, Abe seems to think that they can. And Abe's a diehard Florida Gators fan, so obviously he's very invested in this this decision that they make. He thinks that they need to do something, or they might do something with the athletic director first.
Right.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, but why? You got to fire the coach for the sake of the fan base.
Right.
Like, and I know you can't just make decisions based on making fans happy, but you can't lose an entire fall of interest. Right. Now, just firing him is not going to change anything.
Right.
Pound of flesh, maybe it'll get them, I don't know, they'll feel good about it or something. Maybe you could find something with an interim. Probably not.
Right.
The problem is, it's September, 16th, 17th, mm-hmm. whatever it is, and you're about to just get your butt kicked in recruiting for the rest of the fall because
mm-hmm.
no one knows who the coach is.
Right.
Like you already were behind as far as that went. You're just going to fall further behind. And yeah, man, I don't know. It's crazy to say that the Gators and the Seminoles both are awful, but the Gators and the Seminoles both are awful.
Yeah, man, it's bad. It's bad ball down there with those two major universities. And the thing with it is, like, they re-upped Norvell for no reason. He was never going to get the Alabama job.
I know. He played that very well.
Really, really well.
Because in order to buy him out, Abe said he saw it at 65. I thought I saw it at 72 at the end of this season.
He played it well.
Around $70 million dollars, if you want. And they're not moving on from Mike Norvell, I wouldn't think. But did the wheels fall off.
Yeah. I mean, when it rains, it pours, man. Because DJU is awful. And I mean, I hate the power. That young man does not. And maybe he's shell-shocked. I don't know what it is, Bunk.
I don't think he's as bad as he's playing. I don't think he's that great anyway. Right, and we talked about that leading in the year, even against Georgia Tech. It was like, well, Georgia Tech's got a better quarterback.
Right.
So Georgia Tech's got a chance to win. I didn't realize how much better stuff Georgia Tech had than Florida State. But, yeah, I mean, it's a horrible situation. And I do. I think he's impacted by the negative momentum of the season and what's going on around him and guys quitting. And it seems like guys' heads are out of it and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, they got 10 games left,
right.
or whatever, 9 games left. It's, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah, no,
when you're done already.
It's pretty bad, dog. But we'll see. But yeah, I would be surprised if Napier makes it the year.
No chance.
No chance. There's no chance.
No chance.
There's no chance.
I would have been surprised
with this schedule.
I would have been. Yeah, that's the thing about Florida is the hard part hasn't even started.
Right.
Yet. They haven't even gotten to the back end of their SEC schedule where they play a playoff contender every single week. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets fired today by the time we're off the air.
Yeah.
Well, no, sorry. Let me amend that. If he gets fired today, it'll be at 2:15. And it'll not be after 4 also, because right. while Dukes and Bell have a short show today, they still will make sure that they get that news right. in during the Dukes and Bell program. All right, let's get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. All right, a lot of interesting storylines regarding the game tonight. None more important than the Falcons' offense simply needs to play better. We're all looking at Kirk Cousins and Zach Robinson just to see it get better. But one of the things, too, if you're a Falcons fan, you might very well be a Georgia Bulldogs fan. A lot of Georgia Bulldogs on that Eagles defense. Here's Raheem Morris talking about that.
They are constructed the right way, right? They got a bunch of young Georgia linemen that we know well. Bunch of Georgia rushers, I should say. I mean, actually, at linebacker, too. Everybody's Georgia. And they play hard. They play fast. They play physical. They've always been able to limit explosives. They've always been able to play with a certain thing, keeping things in front. They keep the roof on the coverage. They do such a great job. They're sound. They'll be that way. I know it for sure. With Vic being there and what he's been able to do. He's been in his league since I remember Vic was in Houston and we were at the combine together. Wow, like so long ago, right? And to see what that defense has become and what he's been able to create has been just special.
They got 5 Georgia guys over there.
Yeah.
which is pretty crazy. Yeah. I don't think any more important for the Falcons' purposes tonight than Jalen Carter.
Yes.
He'll ruin the game if you let him.
Mm-hmm.
And we said that last week against T.J. Watt, and they let him or whatever, but he ruined the game.
Yeah.
Don't let Jordan or Jalen Carter ruin the game tonight.
No, you got to make sure you get 4 hands on him. You got to have 4 hands on a guy like that that's going to play inside that interior of that defensive line for them. I mean, they got N'Kobe. He's starting now.
Yep.
And it seemed like he won the job outright because I saw last week Vic Fangio said, no, I know Devin White's hurt. He's our starting linebacker.
And he's looked good.
And he's looked pretty good doing it, man. His biggest issue, he's got to stay healthy.
Yep.
That's his biggest thing with N'Kobe is staying healthy. And then you got Keeley. He's still trying to find his way of what he wants to be, but he's going to play tonight. And then Nolan Smith, he's still trying to – because he has the ability. He's got to get more and more better at the counter move. Like, you just can't win with – now, you can win with speed in this league.
There's a guy on this Falcons offensive line you can beat with
but
speed.
But you just can't do – you got to figure some other stuff out. So, and Jordan Davis has to elevate his game. He's got to play better. He's got to be more consistent than he's been so far in his career. But, I mean, they have a really good football team, but the Falcons can control the line of scrimmage. They can control Jalen from blowing up stuff in the backfield. They can make some plays on his defense.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to take. Establish the run and then use that to set up play action, hopefully. I mean, I'm assuming they're planning on using some play action at some point, and then use that to go down the field. And this didn't do that at all in week 1. Hopefully it's better tonight. Obviously, we'll spend a lot more time talking about this game. We got our keys to a Falcons victory at 120 and more Falcons stuff throughout the entirety of the show. Well, let's pivot here and talk about everything else that happened in week 2 of the NFL schedule yesterday. Probably none, I'll be honest, none more surprising to me than what this team's done early in the year.
Play action to Jamal Williams. He's looking deep, and he's throwing deep.
Play
and he's
action,
throwing
huh?
for Shaheed. Shaheed makes the catch. 10, 5, Goose. See you later. 5. No flags. 70 yards. You can be greedy, my friend, because it makes for a great touchdown.
Well, it wasn't because they played the Carolina Panthers.
Nope.
Nope. The Saints.
I really tried to take credit away from them last week as much as I could.
But I was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to. Because did you see Carolina play yesterday?
Yeah, they're awful.
Bryce Young looks like.
Yeah. They got a lot of problems.
Yeah, anyways, I mean, Kubi, this offense, Alvin Kamara, he has like cat like balance. How he, I mean, I watched some of his stuff that he does and everything as far as his training. This dude's ability to like just not. Fall.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah,
man.
Hit him as hard as you want.
Yeah, it's unreal.
He doesn't fall.
Man, how good Alvin Kamara is. And so, I mean, Derek Carr is playing his butt off in this system. The defense is going to, they got players on the defense. Dallas, if you go right down the middle of Dallas's team, they are awful. And I'm not saying they're bad, they're too small. All right, they need some bricks. They need somebody needs some grandma biscuits and get bigger because. They cannot stop the run of their life. I didn't hear Michael Parsons' name called yesterday.
Mm-mm.
Didn't hear that. Dak was awful
yesterday.
Good as
those guys look week 1, they didn't do anything on
Dak
the defensive
line
yesterday.
Dak was awful yesterday because New Orleans doubled CeeDee Lamb and said, go somewhere else.
Yep.
And they couldn't go nowhere else.
Yep.
Can't run the football. But, yeah, I give Saints their problem.
Look pretty good.
Look pretty damn good.
What is it, 47 week 1?
Yep.
44 yesterday?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We got it. We see you.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was in Dallas, too, by the way. Go on the road and do something like that.
I just love watching video of Dallas fans upset about losing. It just always makes me laugh.
Me too.
It does.
And any time the Cowboys get smoked is fun.
Yes.
You know, I wish it wasn't the Saints doing it, but it was. The Bucs are 2-0 also.
Yeah, man.
And they went into a tough place to win in Detroit. And they took a punch because Aiden Hutchinson was ridiculous yesterday.
He had like 5 sacks in the first quarter.
Yeah, 5 sacks in the game. I guess they made an adjustment.
Yeah.
And they're 2-0 good, too.
Yeah, man. I mean, they got some good players. Baker played really good yesterday late, had a nice little run. I thought Detroit gave this game away, though. I think they were like 1-for-7 or something in the red zone. Mm-hmm. Just wasn't really good.
Really bad in the red
zone. Really bad in the red zone because they did everything else, outgained about everything. They just couldn't score when they got down there. But yeah, I can't take nothing away.
Right.
Tampa's 2-0. And I mean, they're surprised too, because I think a lot of people, myself included, just don't think Baker can put back to back good seasons. He's playing pretty good.
Yeah,
so
he's
far.
Playing pretty good playing so pretty far. Good. So again, it's 2 weeks, but those two teams are playing better than people anticipated them playing.
I agree.
Does that put a little extra emphasis on tonight?
Yes.
You got two teams in your division 2-0 that nobody thought were going to be 2-0. You can't be 0-2.
Yes, it does. It does.
Especially those are two NFC, good NFC teams on the road. This is a good NFC team. You're playing on the road as well. Correct. Like, they did what you need to do.
You can go win this.
They went. I mean, the Cowboys, nobody's surprised the Cowboys are going to the playoffs.
No.
No one would be surprised if the Lions were in the NFC Championship.
Correct.
Game. Eagles are the same.
Yes. They didn't go up to handle business.
I mean, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, Malik Willis got a win.
Dude.
Got a win.
Great freaking game plan, first of all.
Let me give credit to Josh Jacobs for that one, because that man had like 200 yards in the first half.
He was toting that thing, and Malik ran what he needed to. He was 12 of 14, like 140 yards. Nice little touchdown pass.
Yeah.
That's what he was there for 8 days, Bunk.
He was exactly what they needed him to be.
That was a perfect storm. And Anthony Richardson, I know it's only six games. He's only played in six games. He got to get a lot better. Can we see the talent?
That one was the worst one.
Yes.
Yesterday was the worst game.
You see the talent. You see the talent, but that was pretty bad for him.
Yeah. So the Packers find a way to get to 1-1 with that one. The Colts are 0-2. Not really surprisingly, but still. Anthony Richardson had a kind of a cool start to the season in week one. Some of those throws did not play well yesterday. 3 interceptions. The Jets get their first win with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback.
Yeah.
Crazy to say. As much time has been spent talking about Aaron Rodgers being their quarterback. Yesterday was their first win. And they can thank Will Levis for that. Because Will Levis makes just outrageous decisions for
bad,
a quarterback.
Man. And your coach is running off the field, and he said, "What the blank are you doing?" Like, that was just it's okay to kick the ball. It's okay to punt the ball. It's okay to – you know what, Andy? It's okay to get sacked. You know what I mean?
The one thing it's not okay to do –
you cannot – he's given away two games.
Yes.
He's given away two football games. Now, that throw he made to Ridd, I don't know how Ridd caught that ball.
It was a great catch.
It was a hell of a catch by Ridd. But, no, he has cost his team – two games, easily.
Yeah.
By not just and it's not even just an interception or a fumble. It's how they occur.
Oh, I mean, it's just mistakes
it's disastrous.
NFL quarterbacks don't make, and when they do, they don't get to play NFL quarterback very much longer.
Who's that backup?
I don't know. The problem is he's played pretty good at other times.
He's been okay
like outside of the horrifyingly stupid mistakes.
You cannot lose the game like that because of a boneheaded. What the blank are you doing? Play, and that's what those two plays are. What the blank are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you really think that was gonna work?
I don't know how you coach that out. Like, if you're doing that, you're doing that. Is Sam Darnold good? Maybe we come back and talk about that. Maybe
right place.
Yeah,
right place, right coach.
I don't know.
Nobody ever doubted Sam's skill.
Late. Yeah, it was his mind.
Exactly.
Was the problem too. Late bloomers. People are late bloomers sometimes. You ever know a late bloomer?
I was a late bloomer.
You knew a late bloomer. You're one.
Yeah, I'm one.
I'm still waiting. I'm going to bloom one of these days. All right, we'll get to NFL No Huddle Round 2 coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here. Game day. Falcons Monday. Monday Night Football tonight. Falcons and Eagles right here on this very radio station. Pregame show beforehand. Wade Ford tailgate show as well. It's always fun on a weekday, a Monday night. It's been 5 years since they played, or 4 years since they played a Monday Night Football against the Packers in 2020. Yeah, you got the normal stuff. You're driving around.
Right.
You get to hear Wade Ford beforehand. And
then
you get to hear the Falcons Radio Network pregame show. And then, of course, Wes and Dave on the call tonight as well. And they need to win this game.
Yeah, bro.
They need to win this football game tonight.
Man.
I know we were talking earlier with Mike, and Mike was like, I could see if they play better and maybe stomach it. I get that. Yeah. I understand. Philadelphia is good.
We got to mention that last week.
Yeah, man, I don't know.
They need to win this game.
They need to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. They need to win. They obviously have to play better than they played against Pittsburgh. But
right. Yeah, they need to win this game.
Your two biggest division rivals just went on the road and beat NFC playoff contenders.
Right.
The Saints just absolutely destroyed the Cowboys yesterday.
They did.
I mean, that'd be cool if the Falcons did that. I'm not expecting that tonight. That'd be a lot of fun to watch on TV. But I don't care if they win 3-0. But they need to go up there and win this game tonight.
They need to win this football game. And I think they can if they play better. If they play better offensively. Because one thing you can – these are the things when you get opportunities – Jalen's going to give you an opportunity.
That's true. There will be turnover opportunities.
We got to make them. You got to make them. And obviously, you can't have those if you're the Falcons. But you got to be able to get that done. But it ends and starts with 26. If they can't stop Saquon Barkley, this is a wrap.
It just makes Bijan.
It makes their whole offense go.
Everything they want to do starts with establishing the run and just establishing Saquon Barkley, and he's pretty good.
And do your damn job. And you do your job. If they're gonna run it tonight, these RPOs and stuff. Mm-hmm. If you got the quarterback, you got the quarterback. All right, don't bite down there. I got Saquon. No,
because then Jalen.
If you got Jalen,
and that's a first down.
You stay with Jalen
or a touchdown.
All right,
depending on where you are in the field.
Responsibility.
Yeah, be responsible. Be disciplined.
Yes,
all that. Sam Darnold off to a really good start this year. Man. San Francisco loses to Minnesota yesterday. This was the highlight of the game.
2nd and 9 for the Vikings from their own 3. Darnold under center. Play action to Jones. Back to pass. Bosa picked up. Deep shot. Jefferson. Yes! Caught at the 50. Heads left to the 40. Cuts back to the 25. Heads to the right. He's trying to outrun the Niners. To the 5. Touchdown! A 97-yard touchdown from Sam Darnold to Justin Jefferson.
Best part of that whole play was the referee.
It was. That's the fastest referee in the universe.
The referee was the funniest part of that clip right there.
If you haven't paid attention to the referee during that play.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Go back and watch it again, dude, and look at the ref. That guy was moving.
He's scooting, dude.
And he got great position.
Yeah,
he got out of Jefferson's way.
But how he flipped his hips, though. How the referee flipped his hips.
Yeah.
Man, it was awesome, man.
He got down to the goal line just to make sure that he got the call. It was all very well done.
But, no, Sam Darnold's playing well. They are playing well. I mean, they're still without Addison and without Hockenson. And they're playing well.
Problem is, Jefferson got banged up.
Yes.
And Jefferson had to leave that game.
When you got like both arms around a trainer each, that don't look good, man.
Yeah.
It said it was a quad, so hopefully it's nothing too serious. We know all the time he missed last year with that hammy. So, I mean, they're playing good. And that dang on defense and Flo.
Yes, Brian Flores is a really good defensive coordinator.
Ooh,
I don't know very many guys on that defense. I'm not familiar with a lot. I mean, Harrison Smith obviously has been there for a long time.
Yeah.
Byron Murphy went to UW, but like, I don't know that many of these guys. Nope. Okay. Then they did that against San Francisco. San Francisco played yesterday kind of like I thought maybe they'd play week one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
looked
I mean?
Rusty.
Looked rusty. Mm-hmm. Week one, they looked awesome.
We got a sink, everything.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Oh. Good for Minnesota. I mean,
O'Connell's a good coach.
I think he is an excellent football coach. Mm-hmm. I really, really do. I think Brian Flores is a hell of a defensive coordinator too, man. They got something going. But, I mean, Sam Darnold, and the thing about it is you got to just ride this hot streak because Sam Darnold can go back to the old guy now.
Yeah, there's always a chance.
Clock
strikes midnight.
Yeah, there's always a chance.
It turns back into a pumpkin or something like that.
I think one of the better games yesterday, Andy, was the Seahawks-Patriots game. I thought the Patriots are fundamentally so. They're not very talented.
No.
But they're not going to beat themselves. You're going to have to go in there and beat them. Mm-hmm. And I thought yesterday they fought. They fought like hell against
Seattle. Yeah, no, they're tough. They like definitely feels like they've taken on the identity of their head coach.
Yes.
Like they're very hardworking. They won week one that way.
Yes.
And they were in overtime against the Seahawks in week two. Really big games yesterday. DK Metcalf and Jackson Smith and Jigba mm-hmm. both went 10 receptions, over 100 yards. That's never happened before in Seahawks history to have two players do that in the same game. We've been talking about Njigba and how this second year might be,
he's cold.
Yeah, he's good. He's cold. He had a really nice day yesterday.
Cold.
And the Seahawks are 2-0, kind of surprisingly. And you got to remember, they took a lot of guys from staff-wise from Baltimore's defense.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore's defensive staff, they got three guys. Obviously, McDonald's the head coach in Seattle now. Two of the assistants are defensive coordinators elsewhere, too. Baltimore loses yesterday to the Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a tough early start for them.
They got issues because of having Derrick Henry, meaning they got to get more creative offensively when he's the running back. You know, they can't, you know, they got to get more creative with him and Lamar and everything as far as, because teams know for the most part that this is a rundown when he's in.
Yeah.
And so they got to get more creative with the passing, go to first down with him. And Baltimore just tricked this game off. Hell, Brock Bowers, man.
Yeah.
Brock Bowers went stupid yesterday.
It was like the Auburn game last year.
That's exactly what it was.
He started feeding Brock Bowers.
Bowers went crazy. Devontae had a nice play. Max Crosby bounced back. They couldn't block him.
Yeah.
They couldn't block that dude. And so I thought, you know, I thought they tricked it off. So happy for AP, you know, and I love his post-game speeches. It just, but we the Raiders. We going to smoke, because you know I'd be clowning them because they smoke damn cigars after they win a dang on football. He would get, go smoke and talk your talk. I was like, all right, AP, go ahead then, man. Right. Good for him, man. Right. Good for him. And good for, and when you talk about leadership, Gardner Minshew threw a horrible interception. And who was there? The leader of the team, Max Crosby, poking him and says, don't worry about it. We got you back.
Yeah. Come back down 10 too late.
Yes.
And then, like you said, they fed Bowers.
Yes.
Adams. Minshew made some good throws.
Yes.
I don't know, that was an impressive one. On the road, too. That was in Baltimore.
Yes, it was.
Baltimore, I mean, obviously they're still really good, but the tough part of their schedule is coming up.
Yep.
At the Cowboys coming up this weekend right now. I don't know. Cowboys played bad last weekend, but probably bounced back. Then they got the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're at the Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man.
But see, they're good. They have a good enough quarterback where you're like.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But that's a 1-4 start looking you right in the face.
I agree, man.
That's tough. The Commanders won yesterday.
Oh, my God.
Because they made seven field goals. Now, somebody had to win this game. It was the Commanders and the Giants. Let's hear the seventh of them because he made seven of them. It's a lot.
Dude. From 30 yards out for a win.
He doesn't even sound.
Way asks to be ready. Tyler Ott is the snapper. Way turns, gets the snap. It's down. Kick on its way. It is up. And it is good. Washington wins 21-18.
Oh, my God.
And if you don't know the details, 21-18 looks like a normal football score.
They scored three touchdowns.
Yeah,
the Giants.
Yeah,
and lost.
Didn't their kicker get hurt, so they couldn't kick extra points?
Their kicker was hurt coming into the game. Their dumbass didn't bring another kicker up. He wasn't going to be able to kick anyway. He was more leaning towards out than playing.
They were just hoping decision on a kicker.
They were hoping. And then he gets hurt.
By the way, the Commanders signed the guy that hit seven field goals for them earlier this week.
Oh,
they signed him. Like, you can sign kickers.
Unbelievable that the Giants just fumbled the ball. I thought Malik Nate was great until he wasn't. That was a big drop.
Still good game for him.
Good game for a rookie.
Brian Robinson with a really big game, too. 17 carries, 133 yards. All right, let's hear some Steelers-Broncos here, mainly just because we really like Darnell Washington and he got a touchdown.
Yes.
Sets it back down, does it again, gets the snap, looks out left, fires, corner of the end zone, caught, touchdown, the first career touchdown for Darnell. Mount Washington has given the Steelers the first score of the game.
I love the play. They ran an empty set, and I've been in that position where Darnell is on that play. You never get the ball damn throw to you. Never. Ever do you get the ball thrown to you right there.
It seems like one they should go back to because nobody's guarding Darnell on
guarding
that play.
Nobody's guarding him. They got a little dude on him, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I've always been that F on that play right there. And he's like, okay, I'm not going to get the ball.
Let me make it look good.
Yeah, they're going to make it look good. Let me hit my choppy steps and everything. Make it look good on film. And I'll be dogging Justin and throw it to him. Good job.
Yeah.
Love to see it. Broderick Jones had another rough day. Rough day. The dude has all the talent. He just raw still.
Yeah, because they pulled him.
Yeah, I know he's still really, really raw.
He played one series and had three penalties, and they got him out of it.
You can't play.
You can't play.
You can't play.
Yeah.
No, George Pickens, great again. Justin still needs to be the quarterback.
Yeah, if you're looking for slight silver linings
Russ
at
got
all.
The game ball.
Russ, yeah, give him the game ball. I'd love to hear that speech.
Yes.
If you're looking for silver linings at all on week one with what Pickens did to A.J. Terrell, he did pretty much the same thing to Sertan.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat Sertan might be the best corner in football. Mm-hmm. Pickens just kind of does that to guys.
He's a beast.
If he played in a better offense with a better quarterback, I can't even imagine what that would look like. He's just an absolute monster.
Yes.
All right, let's hear a little bit from... This one wasn't. So we'll get to Sunday night in just a minute. Let's hear from the Bengals and the Chiefs. You know how this one's going to go. You know how this goes. The game's close. Don't touch anybody. Here's Patrick Mahomes afterwards.
100%. I mean, I think until you don't have the time hit zero, I feel like there's a chance that you can win the football game. And obviously, we've done that in so many different ways. And so we're prepared. We come in with that mentality that if we get the football with the chance to win the game, we're going to do it. And we were able to do that today.
Dude. There's only two quarterbacks since I've been living that on 4th and 16, all right, 4th and 16 would get that call.
Yeah.
It's him and it's Tom Dan Brady.
Those are the two guys.
For some reason, that always happens in their favor.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I mean, it was P.I.
It was P.I.
But
had they not called it, though, I don't think anyone would have been mad outside of Kansas City fans, of course.
But I mean, I'm just saying, 4th and 16.
Yeah. No, that's a play for them.
That's a
4th and 16 is just throw it up and then get fouled.
And get fouled.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. But I thought the Bengals just play them. They play them well, man.
Yeah.
They play them well, man.
I mean, you know, there's a number of 0-2 teams in the NFL so far. Hopefully the Falcons aren't one of them after tonight. If I'm the Bengals, I'm like, all right, we'll figure it out.
Yep.
They've been 0-2 the last 3 years. They looked pretty good yesterday. And again, they made some silly mistakes, man. They let Kansas City win that game.
Yeah.
They had that dumb fumble late, ended up being a scoop and score. Obviously, you can't touch them. You know when Mahomes puts that ball in the air late in the game, they're just looking, especially in Kansas City.
Yep.
They're looking for a reason to throw that flag.
Yep.
And Harrison Bucker's a really good kicker, so give him a chance to win it, he's probably going to win it. Kansas City's 2-0. They're a toenail and a pass interference away from being 0-2.
They're not playing really well. I mean, hell, Kelce has 37 yards in two games.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Pat Mahomes, and the way they play him so well because what they do, they rush three, spy, and then they play that cloud coverage against him. Same thing they did in the playoffs, and it just – Pat just sitting there basically taking a check down. Now, the worst part about it, they lost their starting running back. Pacheco's out for a while.
Hurt.
You saw that.
Which is bad for them.
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe good for the Falcons.
But the Bengals got a lot of stuff going on right now because you saw, like, I know what Jamar was mad about because he thought the guy hip dropped him and everything, but no, it's a whole lot of other stuff going on.
Oh, that was a whole offseason of frustration.
Yep. Joe Burrow trying to grab him. Yep. That's all that was with Jamar. Because they told him, we're going to get you a new contract. Y'all told me this. I know it had 2 years left, but y'all said I can have one. And so, yeah, he's frustrated. It's a lot of stuff going on. Kansas City is not where they need to be right now. Honestly, but like you said, they're 2-0. And then last night's game, poor Caleb.
Yeah, poor Caleb. As much as they want, you know, they obviously draft him number one, get him some receivers, got him some help. They didn't do much for that offensive line.
And I thought the offensive line was better, but, I mean, this dude dropped back 37 times. They got pressure 36 of them.
Yes. can you imagine what he feels like today?
Oh, yeah.
Just
and shout out to the dog for the first interception yesterday, Lassiter.
Kamara, he almost had two. Should have had two.
Shout out to the dog.
Yeah, there was a lot of good Georgia Bulldog playing yesterday. All right.
Poor Caleb, man.
Poor Caleb. It's going to be a long year.
It's going to be a long
year. If that's what it is, he's not going to make it through the year.
I'm just going to tell you who ain't going to make it. Bryce Young, man. I don't know. That was awful, dude. They're awful, and then he's off right now.
He's playing awful.
Yeah.
He's little.
If he was a bigger guy, maybe he looked different. Then he little as hell. Like, he looked little. Now.
The worse he plays, the littler he gets.
Yeah. Yeah, he came with that big-ass book bag.
And then they put him behind the big-ass podium. It's like, get him a little podium.
Yeah, man. He's still walking around.
Get him a little podium so he looks bigger.
Get you a Louis, man. He's walking around with Jan Sports still.
Now, he needs a fanny pack. Get him a fanny pack so it doesn't look so big.
Hey, ask Mr. Gordon where he get his at.
Abe's dad. Where is he at right now? He's in Canada? Your dad's in Canada?
Yeah.
Just all the Canadian fits?
Living life.
He's got four different Canadian button-ups? Hey. What was he wearing last night that you sent us a picture of this morning? Marine Beatles button-up? Where do you even find something like that? I don't know. He's a living legend, Mr. Gordon is. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to the back page with Bo here on the a Monday afternoon. Thanks for being with us. It's game day, by the way. Falcons Monday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's the Back Page with Bo Johnson on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, at Solomon Brothers, it's percentage week. It's back for 1 week only, September 16th through the 22nd. Save up to 60% off everything in the showroom. Visit them online at SolomonBrothers.com. That's SolomonBrothers.com. Hello, Bo.
So, y'all know me. I'm not one to brag on my kids. Oh, wait. Yes, I am.
Speaking of content.
Who am I trying to fool? So, Saturday morning, the fall 2024 season for the Norcross Lady Blue Devils 10U team. Home opener versus Buford Wolves, the big, bad, scary Buford Wolves.
Whatever.
Let me set the scene like this. It's a back-and-forth game for three innings. We hang with this team for the entire three innings. My starting pitcher held their team to only one run in the first. We got three. You can only get three.
What?
So it's kind of, yeah, you know, there's a run limit. Until you get to the fourth inning, you can get five.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We hung with them for three innings. Here comes the fourth inning. We're the home team, so they bat first. While they are hitting, time runs out. My starting pitcher went the first three innings. She was looking kind of gassed in the third one, so I put it in another pitcher. This is a girl that hadn't pitched at all yet. This is her debut. Just started pitching this season. Gets into a little trouble. Get a couple of rinky-dink base hits. Walks a couple people. They end up scoring two runs on her. And then she walks the bases loaded, and then I'm like, all right, we need to win this game. I hate to do this in the middle of an inning, but I pulled her, and I called on Juice Johnson.
Uh-oh.
All right, I had no intent on Olivia pitching in this game at all. I'm trying to save her for Wednesday because she's going to start. All right, so Juice Johnson comes into the game. Let me set the scenario for you. Bases loaded, no outs. We're down by one. Time has expired.
It's a tough spot. It's a tough spot to be in.
She faces four hitters. Strikeout, walks a run in. Bases were loaded, strikeout.
Yeah.
Wow.
Strikes out the side, comes in. Completely unaware until that moment that she was even going to pitch. Comes in, bases loaded, no outs, no time on the clock, strikes out the side.
Way just to go.
Like
a
Tyler Matzik moment.
Bro.
Way to go, Juice.
Huge.
That's
moment.
Awesome. That's so
grandparents
cool.
were there.
That's so go, cool.
Sister was there from UGA.
Cool.
Like, the whole family was there, bro, for this experience.
I bet she was walking on air the rest of the weekend.
Oh, it was
way to go,
Juice. I had to call her, like, four or five times until
that's
I thought it was over.
That's so cool.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
We didn't get the job done at the bottom of the inning. We lose to Buford by two runs. But, you know,
still,
they blow a lot of teams out in this league, and we hung with them.
That's really
cool. It's going to be a fun season.
Way to go, Juice.
Maybe I'll
so that's one hero on the weekend. Another hero on the weekend, Roberto Clemente, who yesterday was Roberto Clemente Day.
Mm-hmm.
And the Braves honoree or nominee for the Roberto Clemente Award that will be given out during the World Series is Chris Sale, who's also probably going to win the Cy Young and maybe even the Comeback Player of the Year. So go to Braves.com, vote for Chris Sale, Roberto Clemente Award. That's another hero. You know who another hero is? Sometimes heroes don't wear capes. They actually wear Green Bay Packers jerseys. So Malik Willis gets his first win yesterday as a professional football player, if I'm not mistaken. But there was one play in particular that he became a hero on. It's 3rd and 10, down where you normally pass the ball. Well, Malik Willis pulls the ball down and runs it. Malik, why?
I asked Malik why he didn't throw the ball on that 3rd down, and he told me that Josh threw up on the ball. I was like,
yeah, threw up on it.
That's the first time I've ever heard that. Matter of fact, Sean came over to me and said, you know, we saw your center thrown up on the ball. Do you want us to take him out next time? I said, absolutely. Please do that because, I mean, you're talking about a critical situation and it's 3rd down and I've never had a throw with bombing on a football. So I don't know. I don't think Malik probably didn't appreciate that.
So there is video of this. You can see it.
Yeah.
Center throws up directly on the ball right before it snaps.
Oh,
right on the ball.
Can you imagine throwing a ball with the spiral in the
seems very
oh my
slippery.
Goodness gracious a lot.
It seems very bad. I've only thrown it one time and it was pretty bad. It was bad.
Didn't you throw up on a guy?
Yes, I threw up going in motion on the quarterback. Yes, I did. And it was crazy because I was so sick. I was so sick. It was hot.
Yeah.
And
you had the flu or something?
It was hot. And I took these damn, I forget these pills we take for the pill. Like adrenaline pills. I took too many.
Oh.
And I mean, everything was going so fast.
Ooh.
And I remember it was like 3rd and goal. I was going in motion. And I threw up on Jay Fiedler's ass. All right. threw up on him. Threw up right there. And you can see him literally wipe his hand. And then the next play, he throws me a touchdown. The next play.
So, no hard feelings.
The next play, caught touchdown.
No hard feelings.
Yeah, threw up all over.
Puke and rally.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was. Because it was crazy because you remember when that on that movie, how they're looking at Billy Bob, how they're looking at him. And that's how it was, like, in the huddle. And Ruddy them looking like, oh, Randy, you about to go, aren't you? I said, maybe. And it just,
oh, man. I'm glad he didn't hold it against you, though.
I didn't. He didn't. But, yeah, watch, if you watch your film, it's so funny because I just threw up all in the back of him.
Yeah. That's
it's pretty nasty.
That, all right. Well, I guess there's a precedent there.
Way to go, Juice!
And you guys scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
Malik Willis tucked it down and ran
it. At least he tucked it and ran it, though.
At least he didn't fumble.
Yeah, that too.
At least he didn't fumble.
Can you imagine?
There's different types of puke. You know, some,
he probably doesn't wear gloves either.
No, that's true.
But it looked real watery.
That's nasty.
It looked like Gatorade.
I don't care, man.
No, it's gross.
Somebody else's throw up is just.
Yeah, I mean, once Gatorade goes in, when it comes back up, it's puke.
I mean, like, I get mad. Yeah. I get, and I know they babies and they don't know no better. But my kids just spit up on me because that is just funkiest smelling ever.
Jack was the worst. Yeah. I bet Lily threw up three times her whole infancy. Jack used to throw up 10 times a day. Every time you'd pick him up, bow.
Yep.
Said, come on, man.
Yeah, dog.
That's so gross. Yeah, why are you doing that? No. Grow up. And then he did, and now he doesn't do it anymore. Hey, caller number six right now, 404-726-0929.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Would be a real big one. This would be a go a long way to win this football game tonight. Not just because of the way you played week one, not just because you don't want to be 0-2, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Steelers and the Bucks look pretty. Sorry, the Saints and the Bucks look pretty good.
Yeah, they do.
You want to get too far behind these guys in the season?
That's crazy. I mean, in something like Mike Conte said earlier, and we talk about all the time, you're not as good as you are at this time, and it's not as bad as you think.
You're not as good as your best, and not as bad as your worst.
I mean.
Some teams are as bad as worse.
That stuff I saw at Carolina yesterday.
Yeah,
that was awful.
They're that bad.
They're worse than the Giants. I said the Giants are worse. Now.
Yep.
Carolina Panthers are awful. They big awful. The Saints look really good. In two games in a row, they look really good. Derek Carr is throwing the ball really good. Kubiak in this system is looking. Alvin Kamara looks fresher than he's looked in a couple years. He wants his damn money.
Yeah, that's the key to it. Yes. He just looks like such a cheat code. When he's playing like this.
Yes. And he wants his money. And
he ran for 115 and four touchdowns yesterday. Yes. I mean, Taysom Hill is looking good. I mean, he always does, but they're using him the right way.
Did anybody see this yesterday? Because I don't know because I didn't get a lot to watch a lot of the game. Did Deshaun Watson get hurt yesterday? Because I saw Jameis in a couple times.
Mm.
What happened, Abe?
He's like their short yardage QB sneak. They're using Jameis.
All right, thank you.
If that's what you, if you, yeah, I don't know if you saw anything
that's
other
saw. That's
than.
That's the only time I saw him in short yardage. Okay. All right, thank you.
And that's probably because he is a little bit hurt.
Yeah.
And you don't want to use him in those short yardage to get piled on. And
that was
that.
A horrible game.
Trevor
Lawrence.
They won. They needed it.
Trevor Lawrence. They need to get his together.
He's lost how many starts
eight.
In a row?
In eight?
Seven? Eight in a row?
He need to get his together.
Yeah. No, it's they probably should have won week one, but they didn't. Whatever. I mean, could have, would have. The Browns look like one of the worst teams in the league week one, and then they beat you yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they're 0-2. I mean, there's some, you kind of look around the league, and Baltimore being 0-2 is definitely a surprise, I would say. There's some 2-0 teams that are surprising as well. I mean, Steelers being 2-0. No one's surprised the Texans or the Chiefs are 2-0, but the Vikings being 2-0 is a bit surprising.
I mean, you look out west, man. Arizona played really. Kyler Murray was great yesterday.
He had a perfect passer rating yesterday.
He was great yesterday. I mean, I had a little attitude with him talking about it ain't his job to get Marvin Harrison the ball. Yeah, it is. You're quarterback.
Yeah, it's
you're the damn quarterback.
I mean, I guess your point is you got to call the plays and get open, blah, blah, blah. But, like, come on.
Yeah.
It's Marvin Harrison,
and he went crazy yesterday.
Yeah, he got him the ball.
He got him the ball.
All in the first quarter.
Yes, four catches, two touchdowns in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, they looked good yesterday. The Rams.
They're 0-2.
They're 0-2, and they are beat up.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Cooper Kupp left yesterday. We already know Puka's out.
Yep.
They lost a couple of offensive guys. They up it right now.
Yep.
And Aaron Donald ain't coming. We saw the video of him laying on the couch with his lady.
Yeah, no, he's happy.
No, I'm good.
He's got all that money, and Super Bowl, all those trophies.
I'm good, baby.
And somehow, again, I didn't see this coming. The Seahawks are 2-0 in that division.
Yeah,
the 49ers have been the cream of the crop for a long time in that division. And coaching change and all that, Pete Carroll era is over, and the Seahawks are 2-0 to start the season, too. We'll talk about the Falcons' keys to a win. Hopefully they can get to 1-1 tonight against the Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football in about 15 minutes. But let's get to the big story of the day. Let's talk some college football after what was a fun Saturday. Brought to you by QC Kinetics, non-surgical treatment for joint pain.
Carolina 2. Nussmeier in the shotgun along with Williams. Here's the snap. Williams goes left side. Williams into the end zone. Put a Tiger 6 on it. Touchdown. Fighting Tigers of LSU. 2-yard touchdown for Josh Williams. And it's 35-33 with a point after try upcoming with a minute 12 to go in this one.
Let me tell you something, man. I took my hat off to LSU.
Oh, yeah.
Because you want to talk about battling and staying in the fight? South Carolina was supposed to. That energy that South Carolina came out with.
They're on 17-0. They block a punt. That building's going nuts.
It's going for them to battle the way they did.
Yep.
Now, that was a crap-ass call on that touchdown, defensive touchdown. I don't care. He pushed him.
Yep.
That was a crap.
It's crap.
That was a crap call.
It's true.
But LSU battled. And battled, and they hung in there, they stuck in there, and they were able to get the win.
Yeah, it would have been.
I thought it was about to get real good.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I thought so too. The way that game started and all the momentum, and you know, you're getting Beamer special teams plays like usual with his dad and all that, and it just felt like, you know, and I don't know, LSU's okay, but for them to come back in that game and play the way that they did, down big on the road, guys hurt, just all kinds of crazy stuff, and get it done at the end.
Yeah.
36-33 on the road. They're 2-1. 2-1 is a huge difference than 1-2
sure
with their
is.
Upcoming schedule. We
damn
were talking
sure
about that on Friday about how if they did lose that game, how the real difficult part of their schedule was coming up. There could be 4 or 5 losses on that on that record at the end of the year, which no one would think you'd see from Brian Kelly in year 3. But credit to them. No, you're right. I mean, that's a tough win.
Yeah.
That's a really tough win to go down like
real,
that and come
real,
back.
Real, real win.
Nussmeier looked fantastic at times, also terrible at other times.
Yeah. I mean, in South Carolina, where would they be? They lost a quarterback. Their starting quarterback, he went down with a bat, and he's playing so great.
Yeah, I forgot that they had Robbie Ashford as their backup quarterback, who's not bad.
Me too. But, that's a big win. That's a big win. But the thing about that whole day, it was crazy. That atmosphere was bananas. From the morning with the show on and the college football show on to the kickoff. I mean, South Carolina was all over them. And then they found a way to win, man. Says a lot of character.
Yeah, for sure. The game, people say the game was drunk. That game was drunk.
Yes.
As was everyone in the stands.
Yes.
I was hearing stories about some of the game day folks were talking about showing up to the set, 6 a.m., whatever, to get ready. They're already tailgating.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about, you're like people's moms just slurred speech.
Chardonnay that.
Sun's not up.
Yeah.
Sun's not up. We're hammered.
Yeah.
We're handing out airplane bottles and whatever.
Yeah, man.
And then it got hot.
Yes. But I mean, that's how it should be, man.
It is how it should be.
Man, it's a noon kickoff. We got to get to it early.
Exactly.
It's a noon kickoff.
So we start early, too. So we kick off early, too. That Arizona-Kansas State game was crap. That game didn't live up to the hype at all.
I think I was 0-4 on my picks.
That game, me too. Yeah, I went 0-4. I went 0-4 on the weekend. That game sucked. Now, I will say this about Kansas State. That quarterback that they weren't too worried about losing their guy to
Avery Johnson.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah, man.
Like, that guy's a nice quarterback. Yeah, so I get why they weren't worried about losing their guy to Ohio State.
Yeah, man. And then that Mizzou game, I mean, they showed a lot of character, man.
Because,
Ball,
I mean, they played like crap for three quarters.
Yeah. And you know, Boston College, they had the lucky touchdown pass where he fumbles the ball, picks it up, and throws it. But they buckled down. And they gave Luther Burton the ball.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea.
Yeah,
all right, game's on the line. Yeah, let's start throwing the ball to the best receiver in the country.
I want to get him the ball.
We talked about Georgia earlier. I mean, there's not that much to say about it. I mean, you can look at it however you want. You can spend the next 2 weeks being furious about it and Georgia, whatever, they're not good, poke holes in it. Or you won your clunker, and that's what you got to do.
You got to win some
You're
of these.
You're going to play games like this.
Yes.
And everyone only remembers, even in national championship seasons, like they were undefeated. Yeah, and some of the games look like that.
Yes.
Including games at Kentucky. Like, yes. That's some, for whatever reason, that's what it looks like up there.
Yeah, man. But
I don't know why.
They got the dub, most important thing. But there's still some work. You got to get healthier, more depth on that defensive line, and you got to figure out what to do with these offensive weapons. You got to figure out a way to manufacture more explosive plays. And I'm not talking about, you know, against whoever. Who the hell do we play the week? Tennessee State?
What?
Who do we play?
Oh, Tennessee Tech?
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, you got to make big. You got to make those kind of plays.
Yeah, right. But not against Tennessee Tech. You got to do it against like.
Yes.
Who's the next opponent?
Well, they got the bye week, so this week's opponent is going to be rough because it's going to be against each other.
Yeah, I heard they practice Sunday morning.
Yeah, coming off of a game like that.
But then they have a bye, and then they go on the road
to Tuscaloosa.
That's right, Tuscaloosa, who they seem to figure it out.
They beat the hell out of Wisconsin.
Against Wisconsin. Now, I understand Tyler Van Dyke got hurt in the first quarter. I don't think that changes that game all that much. Jalen Milroe looked fantastic. Their four touchdown drives were like 90 seconds or less.
Dude.
They are
a quick strike, big play offense.
They're a Kalen DeBoer offense,
yes,
man.
Yes. You
it
got,
took a little bit of time, but they're there.
You got to make them drive the football. Because this is where they are right now. They are a big play, quick strike offense.
Yep, which is absolutely what Milroe can do.
Yes.
If you have to get him into those tough little intermediate passes, that's when you can beat him. But they also have great running backs.
Yes.
And they're using those guys right. So their offensive line is still banged up. So I would imagine they'll get some of those guys healthy and back for Georgia. But that's going to be a ball game, man.
Yeah, dog.
Alabama is really, really good. Memphis beat Florida State. Florida State's a disaster.
Yes, it is. What's more of a disaster, Florida State or Florida?
God, that's a great question.
I think Florida is, to be honest.
Is it Florida?
I think Florida State's still got a half-decent shot to go to a bowl.
You do?
Okay.
You like when defenses do well against him, and I don't mean like he pulls his hamstring, because that's what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like when defenses actually have a good game plan against Saquon and slow him down, what does that look like?
Well, they got to make the run lanes uncomfortable. You know, like he got away from this. Because he used to do it a lot when he was young, the bounce. That was his biggest thing, was bouncing, and he would bounce into trouble instead of sticking his face in there getting 4 yards. You want him to kind of be, like, bottled up a little bit. You got to stay in your run fits and everything like that because of the ability for him to bounce. And one thing about him is that he has breakaway speed. Like, he's a big dude, but the dude can go. And so I think you got to find a way to keep him bottled up between the tackles. And those linebackers, you got to fit the right area, and you got to gang tackle.
No Nate Landman tonight?
Yes.
Who obviously part of the linebacking core. His strength probably is defending the run.
Yes.
Maybe not as good in coverage, but no Nate Landman tonight. So, I mean, I don't think that makes or breaks the game for you. You have other linebackers that are good and will play, but probably like to have him in a game like this with Saquon on the other side.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Because you want a linebacker like Lemon when it like this, because he don't know he know one speed downhill. And the thing about it is he's taking on guards and everything. That's something that Troy and those guys are gonna have to do tonight. You know, because you know that's what irritates me, because it's an easy run concept for what they're gonna do. They're gonna do the inside belly with the pull read for Jalen. That's what they do. That's what they're gonna do. Now it's all about that initial, those guys, Onyemata and Grady, getting off blocks and holding up blocks, allowing these guys to make plays.
Yeah, I feel good about those guys. Like, if we're talking about what this specific guy on the defense needs to do, I mean, obviously Judon felt like he got a little bit better as the game went, had that play in the fourth quarter.
They said he was wrecking practice when he was with the Patriots. They practiced against the Eagles. Is one of the rare times he did practice while he was up there. So he had a good camp.
Good.
I think that was Dukes and Bell had a guy on from Philly, and he was talking about their practice or whatever. But you got to tackle well. You got to tackle him well. And if Jalen makes a mistake, you got to make him pay.
Yeah, that's one of mine. And it's beyond just that. It's when you got to win the turnover battle. Like you could have beat you bad as you played. You probably could have beat the Steelers if you didn't turn the ball over three times.
Yeah,
and they were two interceptions and a bad fumble. Like you keep those possessions. Maybe it's you get a couple more points. Maybe one touchdown, field goal, whatever it is, and you probably win that game. Even though you did not play well and did not have much going offensively. You can't do that again. Like, you can't have those sloppy man goes in motion and you snap the ball into him turnovers. I don't want to see Kirk, especially that second one, just to, you know, get rid of it, pockets collapsing, kind of a YOLO throw. You don't do that. Just get it out of bounds. Like, just get the ball out of bounds, worst case scenario. And Jalen's going to give you opportunities. Mm-hmm. Like, Jalen Hurts is going to throw a couple passes that you can intercept. It's not going to be a Justin Fields-type game plan where they try to babysit him and, and don't let him throw over the middle. No. Like, there's going to be interceptions to be had. He's got to come up with them.
And that thing, the one thing about Jalen is Jalen, you can't let him get in the rhythm. Because one thing about Jalen, once he's out, it's very hard for him to get back into a rhythm, so you got to keep him guessing. My other one, Andy, you got to win on first down on both sides. Offense and defense, you got to win on first down. You got to put yourself in manageable second and third downs if you're Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons offense. And then you want to keep Jalen and this offense in third and second, in second and nine, third and nine, and everything like that, because it takes away the run element as far as that. Now, that's going to be the another one is you got to keep eyes on Jalen. Because he's a running quarterback in those lanes, and he's not afraid to take it. If it's there, y'all like to rush lanes. You rush past the quarterback. Tackles push you past. You leave a lane.
Yep.
You're in man coverage. Jalen, that's an easy 20 for him.
And that's something that
that's an easy 20 for him.
Killed the Falcons last year.
Yep.
Like, I know different year, different defense, different players, but they're some of the same guys. Like, you probably win three different games if the running quarterback doesn't break one or two plays on you last year. Obviously, Josh Dobbs in that game, Kyler Murray against the Cardinals. Like, there was just those moments where it's like, damn, just make a tackle. Jalen Hurts is going to do it. Like, there's going to be designed runs where he keeps it, pulls it down, and tries to get yards on you. But then he also has those dirty yards, too.
Yep.
And if you make you get into a good situation where it's third and seven or whatever, and you got good coverage, and you're like pretty solid on defense, and then Jalen just scrambles out for that eight, backbreaking. Yep. I mean, that just destroys the defense over time. Like, it grinds
especially
you down.
Especially when you're playing well.
Yeah, you're playing good. We did good. We covered well. Yeah. We did good. Yeah. We held up, and then he found that one lane, kept the drive alive. The more you do that, the more exhausted you get. Mine very similar to what you said. You're saying winning first down on both sides of the ball. I said win third down on both sides of the ball. Yeah. Obviously, those things go hand in hand. The Falcons were awful on third down.
They were.
Against Pittsburgh. And we had Arch on mid last week, and he was talking about part of that is what you're talking about, how bad they were on first and second. Of the 9 third downs they had, 7 of them were 10 or longer. Yeah. You can't win like that. You can't win like that if they don't have TJ Watt.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can't win like that when they have that guy over there knowing you're in a passing situation. He's going to tee off on you. So, I mean, and we say this too, I just don't want to get too greedy. You don't have to get to third down every time either. You know, you're allowed to pick up a first down on second down, you know?
Yeah.
Skip third down. You can do it. Get right back to first.
You really can.
It's second
there's
and six.
No,
oh, we got 8 yards. Now it's first down again.
There's no rule.
It doesn't have to be third and four every single
time.
There's
no rule that it has to be third down again.
No, it doesn't.
It really, really is.
It doesn't.
Man.
And that, but that, when you're doing that, when you're picking up first downs on first down or on second down, that tends to be indicative of a rhythm offensively.
Right.
There was no rhythm offensively last week against Pittsburgh.
No.
Now, credit to Pittsburgh. Hope they'll chalk it up. Whatever percentage of the pie it was that was Pittsburgh doing that to you, hopefully it was a lot. Because Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator of the Falcons, has to have a better game plan today.
Yeah, he has to. You know, you want to always see growth. Now, granted, this is his second game NFL coordinator. Everything I said this last time, I don't care.
I don't either.
I don't give a damn.
Great, he's the offensive coordinator.
He's the offensive coordinator.
I don't care how many games he's played.
He's got to show growth with his play calling, his play design, and all those other things. And the other guys got to help. And I'm talking about the players themselves. These guys have got to get up. I know Kyle Pitts is going home. Got a lot of people at the football game.
Right, from
which
Philly.
Which is always fun, from Philly, and those things. But these guys have got to find ways to get open. And those five guys, they got to protect them. They got to give Kirk time. They got to give Bijan and these runners some lanes. You said it earlier, and I'm right on board with you. I do think there probably was I wanted to be a more emphasis on getting Tyler Algiers more carries, but it just went away from what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
So he's only able to get 3 carries, but I can see him somewhere at 7, 8, maybe 9, 10 carries tonight. That'll mean that run game is going. And that's the first thing they got to do. They got to get it crank up to do what they want to be able to do to have Kurt at probably his best. All right. You got to do something different out of the pistol if you're going to run it today. You cannot just sit there and do what you did last time and let Caleb McGarry let him run block. And let him be the point of attack on some runs tonight. All right, let him be let him be on the right side and let him run.
Yeah, run behind him.
Run behind him.
Run behind him. He's big. He's a big road grader. He can block for runs, and sometimes in the past game, not T.J. Watt or others, but sometimes. But yeah, if you get the other thing with him, and I don't know, it's probably true for a lot of guys, but we've seen this with him before. Like, if it starts out good and he gets like in a pretty good
groove
yeah. not just going forward, right. but physically, but mentally,
yes.
like it tends to go pretty well. 2 years ago, when they had the third best rushing offense in the NFL with Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson and all that stuff, he actually had a pretty good year. Now, that was a contract year.
Yes, it was.
He also came in the best shape of his life
yes,
and
did.
Earned a contract extension. I mean, good for him going for the money and all that. But last year, there was just not a lot of games where they got in that great running rhythm. And part of that is because he wasn't ever in a very good rhythm.
Right.
So I'm with you. Like, run behind him. Let him go forward.
Yes.
Let him do the thing that makes him feel good about yes. himself.
Because he likes it.
I bet it doesn't feel great to keep getting your ass kicked by whoever on the outside and everyone's yeah. looking at you.
And everybody's looking at you.
Yeah.
And the thing about it is we saw the disruptive plays that TJ had, right? We don't know how the rest of the game went. Caleb made it.
Maybe he blocked him good a couple times.
He blocked him good a few times, but we don't care about that.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
You know what I mean?
When TJ Watt hits your quarterback seven times,
yes.
then those other whatever, however yeah. many times you blocked yeah. him, kind of don't matter
they
that
don't,
much.
It don't really damn matter. Yeah. It really don't matter. But, yeah, I'm anxious to see how this team is able to bounce back from a disappointing – because they're disappointed, too. We talk about the fans and everything like that, rightfully so. But nobody feels worse than these players did because you do put a whole lot of damn work into this and you get ready for a season. And for you to go out there with the expectations that a lot of us had about this team without ever seeing them in person. And I think that was the biggest – and I'll always take my – I was use myself because I don't ever want to use nobody. That's my biggest was – that right there was I was putting expectations on something that I'd never seen.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept saying that Friday we're at Twin Peaks. I kept saying, we're all going to see this together for
right.
the first time.
I know that is why we tried to not like temper expectations, but yes. it's like we don't really know.
We don't know because
it's all on paper. Like,
it's on paper. And we know that Kirk's here and we Kirk's coming off of an injury. We know that Kirk's had weapons before. He's had weapons before. I just know with my expectations of him as a quarterback because of what I've seen of his track record. Now, his track record with this team and these teammates, I don't know.
So far, not great.
No.
So far, not much.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
As you see more, hopefully it looks better. I mean, those are my kind of my final two thoughts on it is, I mean, it does really, all that other stuff, it comes down to him.
Yes.
Like, he's got to be the quarterback that you're expecting to see.
Yes.
Like, whether it was Rust or TJ Watt or whatever, play calling, whatever it was week one, it's got to be better, and Kirk Cousins has to look better tonight in order for the Falcons to win this game.
Comfortable, too.
Yeah, comfortable,
you know what I mean?
Rhythm, and
because
all that.
All those different things, Buck. And it's going to be funny if they're under the center of the first damn play. I'm going to love it.
No, I hope they are.
I'm going to love it.
I hope they are, because that's what he does well.
That's what
well.
He does well. That's what I'm saying.
Ask me anything.
Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Red from the Heart, redfromtheheart.org, the AMA to wrap the show up every single day. A couple phone lines available if you want to jump on, 404-726-0929. Just me for the AMA today, and Abe, and Bo, if you want to ask them some questions. If you have Randy-specific questions, we'll just guess at what he might have said. We'll just take a guess. I feel like we know him pretty good. I'll just speak on behalf of Randy if you have Randy-specific questions. But there's a couple phone lines available if you want to jump on hold. We'll start with Ed in Lawrenceville. Hey, Ed.
Well, Andy, I hope you can speak for Randy, because my question was, I know, and first off, Andy, I'm a Wisconsin grad,
yeah.
so I feel your pain, brother.
Yep.
You know,
it was a tough weekend for the UWs.
Yeah, yes, that was a bloodbath at
yep.
Camp Randall.
Yep.
But no, my question to Randy was, and I'll ask you, is, you know, I know Randy was all about the bread when he played the game. You know, he wanted every nickel that
sure.
came to him.
Sure.
What in the hell is Hassan Riddick doing?
Yeah, I would love to hear Randy's thoughts on this. Well, he's costing himself a lot of money right now, $800,000 every time he doesn't play. I do wonder, though, because they had a pretty significant injury on their defensive line, right? I wonder if his leverage or his negotiating power guy. But who's the kid that was at Georgia and then Florida State that got hurt for the Jets over the weekend? Edge rusher. Johnson. So I wonder if that helps him at all. I don't know that it does, but yeah, he's holding out. He's trying to get more money. I also don't understand what the Jets are doing. Like, why'd you trade for him if you weren't going to get anything done? The reason he didn't stay in Philadelphia was because of that situation. So it's pretty poorly handled all the way around. But I do wonder if his leverage got any better with that injury over the weekend. Xavier is in Gwinnett.
What's going on, Andy?
Hello.
So, not going to lie, I've always kind of been pessimistic about the Falcons and what we were doing, you know, since the Kirk Cousins thing. But one question. What Sam Darnold doing in Minnesota right now says anything about, you know, what we were sold on Kirk Cousins for? Like, doesn't it seem kind of like maybe we were sold full gold and it could have been, like, more the system?
Yeah.
Was Kirk Cousins?
Thank you, Xavier. It's interesting that you say that, because we were talking about what Kevin O'Connell has been able to do, the head coach in Minnesota, been able to do with Sam Darnold in the first couple games of the season. I feel like it's probably too early in the year to go that far with all that. And Kirk had good years otherwise than just when Kevin O'Connell was his head coach, but certainly had his best years when he was coaching him. So it's something to think about for sure. I think more than anything, Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach and maybe doesn't quite get the respect that he deserves for how good of a coach that he is. If you can take Sam Darnold at this point of his career and turn him into like a real winning quarterback in the NFL after how long he's been in the league, how many different teams he's been on, how many different tries he's gotten, that would really be something. He also sat in San Francisco last year and kind of got to soak some of that up as well. But yeah, no, we thought about that. We talked about that off the air before the show. It's like, look what Sam Darnold's doing in Minnesota. All right, well, we'll watch that closely. Devin is in Kansas City. Hey, Devin.
My man, what's happening, bro?
Hi, Devin.
So I was pretty upset when Dylan Raiola decommitted from Georgia. But now that I look at it, I'm pretty damn glad he left. Because it just bothers me to see this lame, weird-ass dude do exactly everything like Mahomes. Now I get Kobe tried to be like MJ and stuff, but he turned into the mama. Totally different. So at what point does that become what he's doing become like just weird as hell rather than being like respectful and or a fan?
It's already weird. I think it's already weird, personally.
Yeah, weird as hell, Andy.
Yeah, I think it's already weird. And if you haven't seen it, Dylan Raiola is basically doing like a full-on Patrick Mahomes cosplay. Like, haircut, phone number, or it's a jersey number, his mannerisms, the way that he runs and warms up before the game, the glasses, like all of it. I will say it is weird. It's definitely weird. And he's taken it to a different level than other people who have sort of been inspired by other athletes to, like, you know, talking about like Kobe and Jordan and stuff like that. If you're going to emulate a guy.
Jameis
what?
That's who you should emulate.
That's who you should try to be like.
There needs to be way more people acting like Jameis out there. That's just in general.
What if
Patty Whack, give a dog a bone.
So you know what I'm saying?
You're recruiting a kid, and he's like, yeah, my inspiration is Patrick Mahomes. Then you kind of look at him, and it's Raiola. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. And haircut kind of looks like him a little bit. All right, we get it. You're recruiting a kid, and he's like, yeah, my dream is to someday grow up and be kind of like more like Jameis.
Heisman winner. Come on.
It's true. He won a national championship and a Heisman. There's no doubt.
How do you feel about it? Tell me how you feel about it.
You don't hear that. You don't hear anyone say anything like that. But no, it's weird. It's already gotten weird, in my opinion. Like, I think the one that I compare it to is Jason Tatum with Kobe. Like, he texted him after he was dead and then posted it on social media, like, that he texted him. That's just weird. It's weird behavior. And Patrick Mahomes is making it worse, too, because he's tweeting about him and, like, they're buddies and all that. So it's not going to change anytime soon. But I will say, if you're going to emulate someone, that's probably a good guy to be copying. And he does look like him. They're 3-0.
Is it made weirder, like, you could emulate someone you don't know? It's almost weirder to emulate someone that you're in communication with.
Yeah, kind of.
By the way, just breaking, Bryce Young benched for Andy Dalton.
Dang, really?
I told you, Canales can't sit around.
You did say that.
I'm
surprised. Now, he didn't. He wasn't there when they drafted him, so I guess it's a different deal. But, dang, he's been playing bad. By the way, Nebraska plays Illinois on
Friday night. Yeah.
That could
Fox
be a fun
is
one.
Killing it with that that Friday night schedule. That I think the AP one. Poll threw him a bone, by the way, by just kind of sliding into the rankings.
22 versus 24, like, I guess, so it's a ranked matchup. Yeah, for sure. Derek is in Charlotte. What's up, Derek?
Hey, what's up, fellas? I just want to say something. Actually, all the number one picks are playing so good this year. Baker Mayfield, what's the deal with Trevor Lawrence? Because it's like it seems like everybody got extension, but now Trevor's the one that's on the block. And I'm going to tell you like this, shout out to Nate Peterman being on the Falcons too, but what's your deal on these number one picks and how they doing this year? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. You got guys like years after being number one picks looking good. Like Baker obviously had a good year last year and got the extension, but he's looked really good to start. We just mentioned Sam, I guess he was the number three pick, but like an early pick, took him a while and he's playing good now too. Trevor Lawrence said it after the game yesterday. He said, we suck right now and I got to play better. What was 14 for 30 yesterday. Hasn't looked great so far. He's lost seven starts in a row. Did get all the money in the offseason, but no doubt you're right to say that it didn't look good. Now I'll give Caleb Williams some leeway. He's made two starts, and his offensive line's going to get him killed. Like, he got hit 36 times yesterday. He had 37 dropbacks. He got hit on 36 of his 37 dropbacks yesterday. Like, that's no way to live.
Can you get hit multiple times on one dropback?
I mean, yeah, honestly.
Maybe it wasn't 36 to 37.
If you add up all the hits, he got hit more than 37 times yesterday because there was a couple sacks late in that game where he, like, one guy hit him and then he got hit from the other side. Well, who was the guy?
There was one
Danielle
sack.
Hunter sacked him late in the game yesterday and just, like he jumped off a diving board to hit him. Like, he sprung his whole body into him and drove him into the ground. Now, it's not – doesn't probably not fun to be Caleb Williams today. Lonnie is in Jackson. Hey, Lonnie.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Should I get too high up with the Braves beating the Dodgers this series or still kind of half glass full with them?
I credit you if your glass is still half full. I feel like that would be good.
Also, that series kind of could end in a split tonight.
It could, yeah. If they don't win tonight, they don't win the series. Now, they won the first two games by a ton, looked awesome, and have gotten great starting pitching in every game. Yesterday just got gross late. They had runners on second and third with no outs and stranded them. Credit to the Dodgers pitcher, I guess, but those are some of the worst at-bats I've ever seen. Like, Travis d'Arnaud, at least he got the bat on the ball. It wasn't deep enough to score the run, but at least he got...
You didn't appreciate Arcia swinging for the fences?
Arcia, he looked like a little leaguer. Like, he looked completely overmatched in that at-bat, like, to the point where, I don't know, like, that was pretty embarrassing from him. And then what Kelnick did in the outfield, and Kelnick, I don't know. Has Kelnick had a good first year here? It doesn't seem like it. I mean, he had some moments, but he hasn't lived up to maybe what some of the possibilities could have been. And then Iglesias was like, all right, I haven't given up any runs in 3 months. Let me give up all the runs in one game.
Get it out of your system.
Get it out of
right.
the system. We'll check back in next time.
Andy, you know I started keto, and every once in a while I'll have a cheat day. That was Iglesias' just cheat day.
That was his cheat day.
Yeah,
he hadn't allowed an earned run since mid-June, and then he allowed a lot of them.
It was just a cheat day. A
lot of earned runs yesterday. Yeah, no, it sucked. It sucked the way that game ended because it very much looked like they could have won that game. It also like kind of gets lost what a absolute problem Shohei Ohtani is because it was 2-0, right? And they tried to kind of pitch around him while pitching to him. Pretty good pitch from Charlie Morton. He still gets the bat on the ball and doubles and scores a run. Then he comes up again. I don't know. That was a pretty damn good pitch that Dylan Lee made, and he still gets a bat on it and doubles and scores another run. And then they just an avalanche of runs in the eighth and end up blowing the Braves out. But they win the game tonight. They win the series. Go a long way in terms of trying to win that wild card. So I don't know. All right, let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day every single day to wrap up the show. I will lead us off. Randy said earlier in the show, if it ain't grinded, it ain't me.
So, Randy's just trying to be a loving, kind father, and his family's trying to turn him into content.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, you should look. They got him pretty good. It was pretty
and,
fun.
And somebody needs to get Bryce Young a little podium. Well, now they don't need to get him any podium.
Yeah, when you're benched, you don't have to talk to the media. So I guess that big backpack and that big podium don't matter anymore. That's crazy. Meanwhile, CJ Stroud, 2-0, dealing, balling, awesome.
Dylan Raiola ain't Kobe. And why imitate Mahomes when Jameis is right there for the taking?